aim above morality. Be not simply good, be good for something. This is the absolute philosopher, waxing philosophical, here at the University of Healing in Campo, California, bringing you the absolute philosopher, saying the words of Henry David Thoreau, aim above morality, be not simply good, be good for something. Morality is, in most people's minds, having to do with sex. It has to do with morals. It has to do with right and wrong. And, of course, that's what morality is. It's right and wrong. What is right and what is wrong? And, of course, they always say first sex, you know. And they have a big hang-up about sex being right and wrong. And I find that very charming. Aim above morality. Now, in divine circles, you might say, there is no morality. It's an amoral livingness. And the reason it's amoral is that there is no judgment. And if you don't judge something, then it cannot be right or wrong. It's just an is. And if it's just an is, then that too is no right or wrong. Now, when you're dealing on the higher level of consciousness, when you're dealing on the higher level of philosophical thought and on the higher level of spiritual evolution, do you ever think of doing something contrary to the social environment in which you live or in which you are? Do you ever think of violating the rules of the social community in which you are active, whether you're just visiting or whether you're living there regular? And the answer is, a spiritual master does not. Because the things that are considered wrong, the things that are considered evil or bad or not harmonious, are things that no self-respecting master would ever think of participating in. No self-respecting master would ever have an interest in it. Now, do you think a self-respecting master would like to get drunk? Do you think a self-respecting master would like to take advantage of another person? Do you think a self-respecting master would like to take something that is not his or hers? Do you think a self-respecting master would ever try to hurt another person, manipulate another person, or control another person? No way. A self-respecting master knows that all they have to do is to think their thought, speak their word, and it is done. It is done. So if they want a person to go golfing with them, they don't manipulate that person to play golf with them. They just say, Joe is now playing golf with me this week. And then Joe is playing golf. Joe says, you know, I can't figure it out, but I feel compulsed to play golf with you this week. I just want to do that. Now, that's manipulation, but hey, what difference does it make? Well, the only difference is Joe acquiesced. Now, does Joe have to acquiesce? Does Joe have to play golf with him or her, whoever it may be? He doesn't. Joe felt a compulsion to do it. Now, all of our life, we are having compulsions. You have a compulsion to stop at stop signs. Do you know that? Mm. Yeah. Now, why in the world do you do that? Because someone is motivating you. Someone is manipulating you. Someone's putting a stop sign up there. And you were taught when you see a stop sign, you stop. Sometimes.
Yeah. It's different with people.
Hmm?
It's different with people.
What's different with people? If you're going to speak, speak loud enough, because otherwise don't speak. You see, a master does not even consider doing anything contrary to whatever society wants to do. The master doesn't have to do that. It does not give the master any pleasure. For him to take something that doesn't belong to him is completely an anathema, totally against his nature. To ever hurt another person is totally against his nature. To ever manipulate another person is totally against his nature. And yet, everything that a master does is pure manipulation, if you want to look at it from that point of view. Because the master says, I think I'll get married. Let's see. What is the girl that would be the greatest girl in the world for me to marry? Ah, there she is. And he checks her out. He sees her genes and chromosomes. He sees her whole life story. He sees everything about her. And he sees that she's a lovely person, a beautiful, sensitive, caring person, a homemaker at heart, and everything else, all the things that he wanted. And so then he goes up to her and he says, may I have a date? You know, I'd like to get to know you. And she says, who in the world are you? And you say, well, I am a master. No, you don't say that. I met your brother, or I met your dad, or I met the school principal, or I met someone who told me about you. And of course, he investigated, so he knows a lot of people. And he said that they all said that you were just the most beautiful, sensitive person that they had ever met. And I'd be honored if, you know, you'd let me take you out. And she says, okay, you know. So they go out, and he wines and dines her and woos her. And pretty soon, she falls in love with him, and they get married. Okay, why he'd ever get married is a good question, too. But he goes through the normal channels for this. Now, you remember hearing the stories of Saint Germain? And Saint Germain in France was dealing with the king of France. And he ran out of money one day. So he went into his house, and he came out of his house with a bag full of diamonds. Now, where did those diamonds come from? Well, he's a very wealthy man. Everyone knew that he was wealthy. Everyone knew that he was eccentric. He had a lot of things in his house, because every time he came out, he had something interesting. And so he just manifested them. Now, is that manipulation? Sure, it's manipulation because he is manifesting something that hadn't been. Well, now, what do you mean it hadn't been? It's a conscious concept. And he takes these diamonds. Oh, that's really tough. He takes these diamonds to diamond merchants. And they say, my God, where did you get these? These are the most beautiful diamonds I've ever seen. They're faceted so beautifully, you know, so perfect. Flawless diamonds. Wow. You know, I'll give you the king's ransom for that, you know. But that's manipulation too. And yet it's a manipulation that you wouldn't mind participating in. You know? Now, look at these alchemists. With their mind, with their thought, they create gold out of base metals. Do it a lot less expensive than the scientists do it today, with all the electricity it takes to readjust the construction of the molecules in the cells that make up the gold. Well, aim above morality. When you aim above morality, you're thinking from a totally different level than if you're thinking of what is right and what is wrong. For every time you consider what is right and what is wrong, you have to say, by whose judgment? Now, is it right or wrong to drive down a street and ignore the signs and just have a great old time? Is it nice to go out onto the desert where there's not a car around for 200 miles and the road is straight ahead of you and it's just wonderful and you want to just floor it? And so you put the pedal to the floor, and your car just sails along. You're going 180, 200 miles an hour. And that's not a wise thing to do. Now, why is it not wise to do that? Number one, you're not accustomed to driving like that. You might easily lose control of the car by just making some slight little turn of the wheel or a sneeze or something like that on your part. And that's not good judgment. Although, no one cares if you do it, as long as you're not seen. But as soon as they have the radar on you, then they say that's a no-no and give you a very wonderful fine. But why is it right and why is it wrong? Why can you go to Germany and drive like a bat out of somewhere else, and you go to Switzerland and you have to drive more cautiously? Switzerland is a land of very definite rules. Germany has very definite rules too. And why is it when you're driving down the Autobahn in Germany and you see lights flashing behind you, you better move over? Because if you don't move over, somebody's going to slam right into the tail end of you. Because they expect you to move over. That is the expected procedure when driving on the Autobahn. You leave the fast lane open unless you're moving yourself on that fast lane. Now, these are just all rules. These are just all conditions. And you say, well, it's right or wrong. No. It's just whatever they feel is right for the moment. Now, I don't know, Ingeborg, do you remember when you were a child and you were riding in the horse and buggy and your mother was always saying, don't drive so fast. We lose our breath when you drive so fast. And then when the car came out and it was going 15 miles an hour and people say, it takes your breath away. And when you were going 30 miles an hour, oh, that's too fast. It will kill us all. Now, that was the opinion there. That was the attitude then. That's how they lived then. That was their morality at that time. And today, if you drive 25 or 35 or whatever, if you come on campus and have to drive 15 miles an hour, you say, my gosh, we're crawling, you know. And then you're out on the highway driving 70 miles an hour, and you think, my goodness, it feels like we're just standing still. Because all the other cars are driving the same thing, and you're just all moving along like this. It feels just like you're standing still. And you look out the window, you see the scenery and so forth, but the scenery is usually far enough away from the road so you don't have a good comparison to how fast you're moving. Well, aim above morality. Aim above things that are right and wrong. Think only in the realm of being absolute, of being a master, of being divine. And when you do that, then you are being not simply good, but you're being good for something. You're creating yourself with a good attitude of mind that is going to stand you in good stead in whatever you do. I would suggest to each of us that we pretend that we are masters, and then we act like we're masters. But just pretend. And as you pretend, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to become. And, oh, become a master? Really? No. You're going to reveal that you already are. And when you reveal that you already are, you say, what? Reveal? Well, I already am. Why haven't I shown it up to now? That's a good question. The reason you haven't shown it up to now is because you're argumentative, because you're thick-headed, because you're pig-headed, because you don't want to play the game that you're told to play, and you think that being Pollyanna is silly. Well, there's nothing more wonderful in the world than being Pollyanna. So put a little bit of that in your cup and drink it and realize that you're wonderful. Aim above morality. Aim above all these limited little things. And just be the great, wonderful being that you are. Have a nice evening. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I know that everything is going wonderful just for you.